this opportunity to be in your presence and to hear your words. And we as a group today ask you for the message for this hour. May there be divine impartations and grace deposits. And Father, we just thank you for giving us ears to hear and hearts to receive and to retain. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for utterance and direction. And to you be all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing on today talking about our, I believe this is the 12th reason, isn't it, that we've mentioned so far, which is the ordinance of laying on of hands. We're sure it's God's will for all to be healed today because of the ordinance, the divine ordinance of laying on of hands. Now, the point in question here is, would God tell us to lay hands on, as the Scripture says, the sick and everyone and any, if it might not be His will to heal some? I mean, would He tell us to lay hands on the sick? And these are quotes from different verses that we're going to look at and have been looking at. Would He tell us to lay hands on the sick? Would He tell us to lay hands on everyone? Would He tell us to lay hands on any in the church that are sick, if it might not be His will to heal some? That would seem to be contradictory, wouldn't it? For to tell us to lay hands on any and everyone, and then turn around and tell us it's not His will for them to be healed. That wouldn't be God. But we see that it is God's will that we lay hands upon the sick. Mark 16:18, as we gave you, it said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now that's a glorious and a wonderful verse of Scripture. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now that's a glorious and a wonderful verse of Scripture. Amen. And in teaching about healing, if you're going to minister to the sick by the laying on of hands, then a lot of the time, you'd want to precede it with some kind of teaching about laying on of hands. Are you listening? Now see, you need to understand that people have faith in whatever they hear. And as we said, the Lord told Brother Hagin some time back, whatever you teach the people on, give them a chance to act on it. You see, give them a chance to act on it. So if you're going to be laying hands on the sick, then I've noticed, you know, just in my own life and ministry, the usual thing, if I'm going to lay hands on the sick and I know about it beforehand, most oftentimes the Lord will lead me to teach along that line. I'll teach on the anointing. I'll teach on the power of God, on the healing virtue, on the laying on of hands. You'll find that Brother Hagin teaches about that, you know, just every time. Well, especially like if he's out on crusades and he's ministering to the sick in the night services, most of the time he'll teach or preach on Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood, talk about the power, how it flowed out of Jesus and how it flowed into this woman. And he'll talk about how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and talk about the vision and how God uses him in the laying on of hands. The same thing every time. Time after time after time after time. Why? Because that's what produces faith in laying on of hands and in the power of God. You see, if people don't believe in the laying on of hands, if they don't have faith in it, if they don't believe in the power of God and have faith in it, well, it won't work for them. There's nothing to release there, you see. Amen? And so a lot of people in traditional denominational churches, they have no faith in laying on of hands. Did you know that? They don't call for the elders of the church. They have no faith in the laying on of hands. They have no faith in the tangible power of God. You know why? They haven't heard about it. You see, it hasn't been taught, hasn't been preached in their circles. And so the first thing you do, when Jesus got to the synagogue, the Bible said He taught and He preached the gospel of the kingdom and healed. Notice the order? Teaching, preaching, and healing. He taught them. He laid a foundation. He began to teach them about the truth of God's Word and about the truth of the power of God. And, you know, he'd use again and again the passage of Scripture from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me." Well, see, they couldn't know about the power of God unless He told them. Amen? He kept telling them about the anointing. He kept telling them about the power. And the next thing you know, everybody wants to touch Him. Why do they want to touch Him? Well, they've been hearing about the power. And they hear that the power's on Him, so they say, well, hey, let's touch Him so we can get the power. Amen. You see, it was a lot of times we read over some of these things, we don't see how they connect, you see. But Jesus didn't just go into town and start indiscriminately, promiscuously, healing the sick. He couldn't. Are you listening? Because he was not walking as God. He always has been, always will be God. But he was not walking as God when he was here on the earth. He was walking as a man. And so he gave us an example how to operate. When he got to town, what's the first thing Jesus did? He started teaching. Amen? Then when he laid a little groundwork, he'd break loose and start preaching. And inspire the people to act on their faith right now. Amen? A lot of times that's what preaching will do, to inspire you to act right now, you see, on what you have been taught. And then he'd minister to them, and oftentimes he'd minister through the laying on of hands. Now, we gave you Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, which talks about that the laying on of hands is one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. It's not just an idea that somebody had. It's one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And we made mention of the fact that you ought to reverence that doctrine, and you ought to treat it just as sacredly as you do any other doctrine of Christ. Now, I want us to look at some scriptures here. We began, and I want us to finish talking about some instances of Jesus ministering by the laying on of hands. Now, Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter, I'm going to read these, and you can turn with me, or you can write the references down, whichever you like. But in Matthew 8, you begin seeing Jesus minister this way. Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter, and the 2nd verse. When the leper came to Jesus and asked him, you know, he told him, said, I know you can if you will. Jesus put forth his hand. He put forth his what? Put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain root. Excuse me, chapter 9, verse 18. Chapter 9, verse 18. While Jesus spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and do what? Chapter 9, verse 18. Come and do what? Lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Now, why did these people come and say, come lay your hand on? Why? Well, you know, we might say that like some of you said, that they had seen Jesus do that, but there was a time, one time at least, and every time Jesus got to a new place, they hadn't seen him do it. Why? He must have taught about the anointing, you see. And we have an example of his ministry there in Luke, you see, 4. How he stood up and he took his text from Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. He started talking about the anointing. Amen. And so when they got a hold of the fact, you know, so we've seen laying on of hands so much until we just think, well, you know, it's just always existed. Nobody's known about it. But to tell you the truth about it, if you'll do a study in the Old Testament, to my knowledge, none of the Old Testament patriarchs ministered by the laying on of hands in the area of healing. Are you listening? In the area of healing. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you go back and study the Levitical priesthood, the priest laid the hands on the sacrifice. There was a transfer of the purity of the animal to the people and of the sins of the people to the animal. There was a transfer. But I'm talking about laying on of hands upon the sick and ministry to the sick. To my knowledge, there's no instance of that in the Old Testament. Now, the closest thing you'd find to it would be in the ministries of Elijah and Elisha, where they lay their bodies on the dead person. But now, that's not laying on of hands. And that's not just being sick. That's being dead. Are you listening? There's more involved than just, you know, ministering to the sick in that. There were, you know, the person was brought back from the dead. You won't even see the disciples ministering by the laying on of hands before the day of Pentecost. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, yeah, of course they did. Jesus sent them out and gave them power and authority over sickness and disease. And they didn't. No. The Bible says they anointed with oil. Well, that's the same thing. Oh, no. It's not. Anointing with oil is a separate method from laying on of hands. Now, that's not our purpose to teach methods whereby healing can be ministered, but I want to bring this out to you, just a moment now. You remember if you study the Old Testament, when it talks about anointing with oil, it talks about pouring oil, doesn't it? I mean, like, you know, a young prophet was sent on an errand to anoint the next king. And so he ran in and he said, "I have an errand unto thee." And the man got up and they stepped into a side room and he took a box of oil and he broke it over his head. Poof, dumped it on him. And then ran out of the room. Well, he anointed him. That doesn't mean he touched him with his hand. Are you listening? See, a lot of times we just automatically think laying on of hands when we talk about anointing with oil. But really, to tell you the truth about it, they're two separate and distinct methods. Now, you can use them together. Sure, we use them together all the time. But don't just immediately assume that when you say anointing with oil, you're talking about laying on of hands, because they're really two separate methods. You could get people healed by anointing them with oil, or you could get people healed by laying hands on them. But the two are not necessarily one and the same. You could use them together like most people do a lot of time. But you don't have to. Are you listening? It'll help you to distinguish these things and to have them correct in your thinking like that, you see. So the disciples, we see them anointing with oil and we see them using the name of Jesus. But the Bible never says anything about them laying hands on the sick like Jesus did before the day of Pentecost. Why? Because they didn't have the Spirit upon them like that, you see. Are you listening? They didn't have the Spirit upon them until the Holy Ghost came. Now, Jesus did. The Spirit came upon Him when He was baptized, you see. You remember that? And from that point, after the temptation, you see, He began to go into His ministry. And the Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And power. You hear that phrase? And power. There was tangible power that Jesus was anointed with. And while He was on the earth, He was the only one ministering like that. But then, thank God, He told them, "It is expedient for you that I go away," because He said, "When I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter." And the Holy Ghost came upon them, and after that, we see people ministering that way, you see. And people can minister that way today. As we said to you, there are basically two ways to lay hands on the sick. Basically two ways, two major ways I should say, like this, you know, because there are a diversity of things. Two major ways to lay hands on the sick. Number one, you can lay hands on the sick as a point of contact to release your faith, so that they can release their faith and you can release your faith. Now, something I did not mention in this area, and if you study Brother Hagin's material on the anointing, then you'll find some of these elements. You'll find he goes into detail about some of these things. But I didn't make mention of the fact of the anointing that every believer has. You know, 1 John 2 talks about, verse 20, we have an unction from the Holy One. Verse 27 talks about we have an anointing within us that abides within us. How many of you know that? That just as a believer, particularly I'm talking about a Spirit-filled believer, you have an unction, you have an anointing that abides within you. And sometimes you could be conscious of that unction ministering to others. Any believer could. Any believer could. Now, it's not just an earth-shaking thing. You understand what I'm saying? But if you are sensitive to the Spirit, and you're not so much in the flesh, but you're more sensitive to the Spirit. Sometimes, if you would be laying hands on the sick, and you have no special anointing, you have no special call upon you, you see. But even yet, you could be conscious of the power of God. Amen? Now see, that's what most people are aware of, and a lot of people mistake that with a special anointing. It's not. Are you listening? That's not the same thing that Brother Hagin is talking about when he says that, you know, that the Lord called him and gave him a special anointing. That's different. If you hear him talk about his early ministry, he'll tell you that there are times before that he had this special ministry given to him that he would lay hands on the sick and he would be conscious of something going out of him into the people. But that's not the special anointing. That's the unction that abides within you that every believer has. And like I said, that's not an earth-shaking thing. I mean, that's not something that people, the recipient will always notice, you see. That's not something that they might not notice that often. And you might not notice it that much, you see. But if you can perceive that, in many instances, there's just like something goes out of you into them, or something goes out through your arms. That's just the Holy Ghost, you see. That's the Holy Ghost. But that's not that special anointing that we're talking about. How many of you understand we're making a difference between those two? Then secondly, we said you could lay hands on the sick this way. Men and women can be anointed with power. See the Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. All of us have the Holy Ghost, don't we? With the Holy Ghost and power. Now see, by the Holy Ghost mentioning that in that passage of Scripture, there must be some significance there, you see. Elsewise, he'd just say he anointed him with the Holy Ghost. But he mentions something else. And power. There was a special manifestation of anointing there, you see. Now, I said men and women may be anointed, can be anointed with power, as God wills. And by the law of contact and transmission, they can administer this power to sick ones. If you know a little something about the laws of electricity, you can understand something about how the power of God flows here. By the law of contact and transmission. I mean, you know, any of you that ever messed around with anything that's electrical, you get the wires together, then the power will flow down through the wire. Isn't that right? But, you know, they have to contact. Then when they contact, then the power will be transmitted. It'll flow along that line. And so the power of God is very real. The anointing of God is very real. There are laws that govern its operation. And it's faith that gives place and action to that power. And by the contact of your hands upon an individual that believes, if you were anointed like this, then this power would flow, you see. And of course, either way, individuals can be perfectly healed. If you have no special anointing, no special call that you know of, and if you never have, you see, that wouldn't mean that you're an inferior Christian. It wouldn't mean that you're less spiritual. And it wouldn't mean that you couldn't help people. You most certainly can help people. You can lay hands on people in faith. Amen? And they'll be just as healed, if they'll believe, as with this special anointing, you see. But God does a lot of things to help people, to meet people where they're at, and it's easier to believe. It takes less faith to receive if I can feel something, you see. Isn't that right? If I can feel some kind of power, then it takes less faith for me to believe I receive than if I don't feel something. And so God's endeavoring to meet people wherever they're at. But understand this, that you can help people by laying hands on them, no matter what. Because laying on of hands is for the believers, we gave you in Mark 16:18. Now, let me give you some other instances in Mark's gospel of laying on of hands. Mark 6, verse 2. Mark 6, verse 2. They remarked concerning Jesus, they said, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" They said mighty works are wrought by Jesus' hands. They remarked about his hands, you see. The 7th chapter of Mark and the 32nd verse, 7:32, says, "They bring unto him, unto Jesus, one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him." They said, "Lord, we want you to put your hand on this individual." Notice they were specific what they wanted him to do. And it says in verse 33, Jesus took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. How many of you know this is still ministering to the sick? See, so many times, if we're not careful, we'll be traditional in a negative sense about the laying on of hands. We think, well, you put the palm, probably of the right hand, on the forehead. Right? But there's more ways to lay hands on the sick than that. They said, "Put your hand on him." He put his fingers in his ears. Are you listening? Put his fingers in his ears. And you remember we talked about it in Matthew 9 a few moments ago, that Jesus was asked by Jairus to come lay hands upon his little daughter. And you remember when he got there, he took her by the hand. He just took her by the hand. You know, it had no record that he laid hands on her head. He took her by the hand and spoke to her. Well, he did lay hands on her, though, didn't he? Amen? And you'll find that many times he laid hands on people, but it wasn't in the traditional sense that we might think. Also, Peter's mother-in-law, there in Matthew 8 also, it says in another account that Jesus took her by the hand, lifted her up. He made contact with her, but it was just her hand. Amen? So don't be traditional in a negative sense about laying on of hands. Be open for whatever, you know, God would use you. Brother Hagin said, when he first started in the ministry of laying on of hands, and the Lord began to deal with him and give him a ministry along that line, that he would lay his hands on the part of the body that was afflicted. You see, if it was their leg, he'd lay his hands on their leg. Now, let me give you a few practical things about laying on of hands. How about that? About working in a healing line. There are a lot of mistakes that people make working in healing lines and that kind of thing. He would also, if it was a lady that he was dealing with, then most of the time he would have either his wife, if she were present, or one of the helpers to come and to lay their hands on the woman's body, and then he'd lay his hands on his wife's hands or the helper's hands. You understand what I'm saying? Let me just illustrate a little bit. Ma'am, if you would, come up. And ma'am, you here. Yes, come up real quickly, please. Let's say we're going to minister to this lady right here. And let's say that this lady was my wife. A lot of times, if this lady has something wrong with her abdomen, what I'd have her to do is to come stand over here to the side, no, just like this, and lay her hands like this. And then, I'd usually lay my hands on top of her hands like this. Can you see that? And also, if you're needing to work, thank you. Just stand here just a moment, though. I just wanted you to go ahead and you could loosen up a little bit there. When I lay hands on individuals, a lot of times I'll stand to the side of them. Now, you do whatever you're led to do. But especially if I need to work by myself, let's say you may be some places where you don't have a bunch of ushers around, okay? Especially you men, especially I'm talking to you, especially those of you that are stronger, if you'll minister to people, you can, if you put your hand kind of toward the back area, then if they start to fall, you can help them. Are you listening? I have, just leave that one arm behind somebody, and you can, now ladies, that might not be, practical for you. You might not be strong enough to do that, but a lot of you men can do some of that, you see. Now, let me emphasize this. That it is not necessary that people fall. Okay? It is not necessary that people fall when you pray for them. Don't get that in your mind that everybody's supposed to fall. Okay? If people fall, they fall. If they don't, they don't. Just don't make a big deal out of it. Make sure that you don't push people. Okay? Are you listening? Now, I tell you, a lot of times, if I'm laying hands on an individual, and some charismatics are pre-programmed to fall, you see. And they start falling, before you ever really start praying for them. And I have had people, the power was just so strong that before you ever got to them, they fell. And that's all right. That's fine. If it's the Holy Ghost, you see. But then sometimes people, they're just ready to fall. And, how many of you know falling won't heal you? I mean, you could get hurt falling. Let's not get healed. I mean, falling won't heal you. You know that. But now, in laying hands on an individual, a lot of times, one reason I do that, if I can, if the line or time would permit, and usually it does, if I'm laying hands on an individual, then... If let's say that I lay hands on her and I'm not through ministering to her and yet she's fallen, I'll just brace her back up a little bit with this hand. I have just held people. They just limp like that, and I just hold them till I get through praying for them and then let them go, you see. Amen? Well, thank you, ladies. I might use you a little bit more, but right now I'll let you sit down. You need to be very careful that you don't get into a cycle of things and a ritual about laying on of hands. As we said aforetime, it's a very sacred thing. And I want you to remember this also, that you should not hastily nor haphazardly lay hands on the sick, but you should only do so when both you and the recipient are in a position to release your faith and you can fully expect results. I said you should not hastily nor haphazardly lay hands on the sick. You should only do so when both you and the recipient are in a position to release your faith What do I mean by that? I mean you're in a position where you can fully expect results from what you're doing. Okay? Now, in laying hands on the sick, let me reiterate, do it decently and in order. I know something else that I meant to illustrate to you. Come back up. Let's say that you don't have a lady to work with you. Let's say you're working in the line by yourself. And this lady says, I have a problem in my abdomen any part of the lady's body that you don't have any business as a man putting your hand. Well, here's something real easy that you can do. Take her hand. Are you listening? And put it on her body. And put your hand on top of her body. Excuse me, put your hand on top of her hand. Let me reiterate, put your hand on top of her hand. Okay? You see what I'm saying? And if the Lord led you to lay hands on the particular part of that individual's body that was affected, you see. And then, of course, I've seen Brother Hagin a lot of times, he'll take people by the hands like this. He'll put their hands together. And this is a good thing to do. And this is kind of practical, and this is ministry, but we're going to go ahead and share it with you anyway. Sometimes people are afraid. I've had people that are kind of standing here like this, and you go to minister to them, and they grab a hold of your arm, and they're afraid they're going to fall, or they're afraid that you're going to push them down, or anything like that. Always, and rightly so, they've been in some situations where people did that to them, Always deal gently with people. Especially I've dealt with older people. They were afraid they're going to fall. And they were in bad shape physically, and they knew they could really be hurt if they fail. Deal ever so gently with those folk. Are you listening? I've had people say, "Now I don't want to fall." I said, "Okay, fine." And I kind of put my hand around them to make sure and just put my hand on them ever so lightly, so that they know I'm not pushing. And even if they start rocking back or something from the power, I pull them up a little bit and hold them up. You see. Kind of help them, kind of help stabilize them, because they're afraid. If they're afraid, they're not going to receive you. So you got to help them get out, get over that fear, so they're not thinking about that and then think about receiving. Amen? But deal ever so gently if you're ministering to people in the healing line. And thank you, that's good. And if someone, if they desire for you to lay hands on them and they have something that they want to tell you, then be quick to listen. You don't want to just hold conversations in the healing line. I know that. It can get you way too much in the flesh if you do much talking. But you want to be as much in the Spirit as you can. You have the more results, the more you minister in the Spirit. But if somebody's afraid and you can tell they're afraid, we'll deal with them. And if they don't want to fall, we'll tell them you don't have to fall. Falling won't heal you. We'll just pray for you however how you want us. That's right. What I was showing you. Excuse me. Come back again. I knew it was something else I didn't get through with here. What I was showing you, let's say I start to pray for her, and she reaches out for my lapel, or she reaches out for my arm, or something like that. That's one thing you can do. Just take her hands, or his hands, and just put them together and hold them. If people are, I've seen a lot of times people are kind of mauling towards you and that kind of thing, you don't want that. Are you listening? You can just take their hands like that and just hold them in one hand. Are you listening? And lay hands on them with the other. And you can control their hands a little bit by just this right here. Okay? Just a few practical things. Maybe that'd help you out. Okay? Now let's keep reading in the 8th chapter here of Mark. Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and they besought him to touch him. They wanted Jesus to touch this blind man. So he took the blind man by the hand. This is Mark 8, verse 22. Verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. So he's got his hand on him already, doesn't he? Took him by the hand, led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and then put his hands upon him. So he spit on his eyes, and then put his hands on him. He asked him if he saw aught. And verse 24, he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. So, this is a major improvement. The man couldn't see at all, right?
He's blind. And now he can see, his vision is distorted, but at least he can see something. Now here's an issue that comes up many times. People say, well, you know, I've seen people lay hands on the same individual in the same healing line more than once. And that's not faith. Well, it just depends on how you're ministering as to whether it's faith or not. Are you listening? I said it just depends on how you're ministering. Now here, Jesus laid hands on this man, and he was much improved. But then, verse 25, after that, he put his hands again. What did it say? He put his hands again upon his eyes, and he made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, see, it depends on how you're ministering. If you're just ministering to somebody as a point of contact, where you're going to release your faith, well, how many times do you pray the prayer of faith? One time. And so if you and I are just going, we're going to use the laying of hands as a point of contact, and we're going to release our faith, then we don't want to be doing that over and over, you see. We just do that. But now, we don't know about this man's background even. We don't know what he believed. You know, it didn't say that Jesus had taught him a bunch. They just brought this man to Jesus and wants him to lay hands on him. And Jesus is ministering to this man with a tangible healing anointing. Now, how many of you have microwaves or know something about microwaves? Let me ask you this. You put something in the microwave and you set it for a certain amount of time. What if you pull it out and it's not done? What do? You put it back in and you zap it some more. Right? Now see, when you're ministering like this, you're ministering with a tangible healing anointing, there's a tangible flow into the recipient, you see. And so Jesus is ministering to this man, and the power is flowing into him, and he takes his hand off of him, but he's not done. Are you listening? I said he's not done. So what do? He put his hands again upon him, you see. Jesus wasn't just praying the prayer of faith here. He wasn't just, you know, using the laying on of hands as a point of contact. He was ministering something to the man. Can you see that? So would it be wrong to lay hands on folk more than once? Well, it just depends on how you're ministering to them. Are you listening? I said it depends on how you're ministering to them. You know you're not supposed to pray the prayer of faith over and over again. You know that. You pray that and you get that settled. But it depends. If you're ministering in some of these areas like this, well, you just need to be led by the Spirit of God, you see. We don't know what this man believed even, see. And sometimes people yield more or less to the Spirit of God. Sometimes people just receive just a little bit. Well, now, if you had time to stand there and minister to them for a while, it'd help them. Now, a lot of times in larger meetings, people don't have that. You know, like Brother Hagin, he doesn't have time to minister a long time to each individual. If he did, I mean, you know, he'd just be there for days. He just has time to lay hands on them, minister to them, and keep going. But you'll find that, you know, if time permits, well, for instance, when he's just ministering in the small churches, he'd sit in a chair on the platform and have people come up, and he might spend 45 minutes with them. Because he had that kind of time. He's going to be there with that same group of people for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks. And so he could spend that much time with them. He had that much time. And a lot of times you'll notice that if you, even with just a believer laying hands on the sick, you're conscious of, you know, of the unction of the Spirit. That's not that special anointing now, but you're conscious that the people are receiving. Well, just stand there for a while. Don't be in a rush. Are you listening? Because even if somebody's just receiving just a little bit, if they keep on receiving a little bit, well, it adds up, you see. Amen. Don't just fall in a rut, you know, just because you've seen some of these ministers just lay hands on people and go down the line like that. Now, you've got to remember that there are a lot of reasons why they do that. If you're in a meeting and you've got 25 people and 4 people come up in the prayer line, don't think you just have to run by and do that. Are you listening? I mean, you know, take a little time with them. A lot of times I ask people, now not always, but a lot of times I'll ask them, you know, what do you want the Lord to do for you? Find out where they're at. Find out what they're believing, you see. What do you want the Lord to do for you? Well,
I want the Lord to fix this part of my body. I want the Lord to heal this part of my body. Do you believe He will when we lay hands on it? Not in an accusative way or in a trying to put them on the spot. Just ask them, you know, do you believe that when we lay hands on you that the Lord's going to minister to you? Well, yeah. And begin to minister to them, you see. Take a little time with people. When you have it, take time with people. Amen? Now, you don't always have that kind of time, but when you do, and most of you starting out in ministry, you are going to have that kind of time, all right? You're not, you know, a lot of you are not going to be ministering to hundreds and hundreds in the healing line. You know? And if you can learn how to minister to one individual and help them, I'm telling you, it'd be worth it. It'd be worth your visit there. It'd be worth your trip there. To them, anyway. I said, to them, anyway. And if you were on the other end of it, you'd want somebody to spend some time with you if it'd help you. Wouldn't you? So that's what this business is all about. It's helping people. The main thing here is love. Now let's notice Luke 4, verse 40. Luke 4, verse 40. It says, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He laid his hands on every one of them, Jesus did. That must have been a long healing line. I mean, if they brought any sick with different kinds of diseases from the whole regions round about, that was a lot of sick folk. And he took time to minister to every one of them by the laying on of hands. Praise God. And heal them. Thanks be unto God. So Jesus is our example, isn't he? So how many can we lay hands on? And how many can we expect to recover? Now you see, if God tells us to lay hands on the sick and it's not His will for all of them to recover, then how do we know which ones to pray for and which ones not to pray for? If, as some people teach, it's not necessarily God's will to heal all, how do I know which ones to pray for and which ones not to pray for? I don't want to get out of the will of God. I don't want to miss God. If it's not God's will to heal all and I've got a line of folk up here to pray for, and if it's not God's will to heal this individual, and here I am trying to believe for them to be healed, well, I'm contrary to the will of God. I'm resisting the Holy Ghost. I don't want to do that. So what do I do? If it were true, and some people say that it's some is God's will to heal and some is not, then I'd have to pray before I ministered to everyone, and I'd have to find out, is it God's will to heal this one or not, before I could lay hands on them. But some of these same folk, they say it's God's will to heal some and some it's not. Even some of them, not most of them don't, but some of them will lay hands on people and they lay hands on everybody. Now see, that's contradicting yourself. Why pray for something if it's not God's will? That's being rebellious. Why lay hands on people for something if it's not God's will for them? That's being rebellious. A lot of these things, just the effort is just worthless. You know, people come in, I know people don't know any better. I used to do the same thing myself, and probably most of you, if you had any kind of a church background. But you come into the sick room, and you pray, and you say, oh Lord, heal this dear sister, if it be thy will. Now let's analyze that. What are you saying? You're saying, if it's not, then just let her stay sick. In other words, Lord, don't pay any attention to what I'm saying. Just do what you want to do, because you're going to do it anyway. Basically, that's what you're saying, right? Because you don't know the will of God, and you're not praying, you're not nailing anything down, you're not doing anything effective, you're really just wasted motion. And the same thing could happen just in laying hands on everybody. Well, we know it's not God's will for everybody to be healed, but we'll just lay hands on you and give it a shot and see what might happen, you know? Well, you might as well not do it. You might as well not do it. Now, I know people get upset about that. I've had people get upset. I was talking about that in Montana one time. A guy came up, he said, "No, I don't know that I believe that." I tried to explain it to him. Then, you know, what good does it do to pray for the sick? When you're praying like that, you're saying, "Lord, heal them if it be thy will." You're saying, if it's not your will, just let them stay sick. You're saying, don't pay any attention to me. Do what you want to do. You're going to do it anyway. Amen? Need to see that. So, we see that Jesus laid hands on them all, And they all got healed. He's our example. He said, the works that I do, sure you do also. We'll do the same works that he did.
Now notice also in Acts 28, 8 and 9. I'll just read it to you. It says, it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him. Laid his hands on Publius, you see. Publius' father, that is. Laid his hands on him and healed him. So here we see a New Testament example of laying on of hands other than Jesus' ministry after his ascension. And of course we know Paul was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Now see, some people have a ministry of laying on of hands. All do not have a ministry of laying on of hands. But all may lay hands on the sick. I want you to make sure you differ between those two things. All believers may lay hands on the sick and fully expect them to recover. All believers may do that. But all believers do not have a ministry of laying on of hands. There is a ministry of laying on of hands. We hadn't talked a whole lot about that, but enough, I think, for you to see the difference. Brother Hagin has a ministry of laying on of hands. Everybody does not have that kind of a ministry. Some other individuals have a ministry of laying on of hands. We could name some. But most people don't. But all ministers and all believers can lay hands on the sick and get results. And the people can be just as healed as they would be healed through a special ministry. Just as healed as they would be through a gift of healing or, you know, working of miracles or something of that nature. Amen. Everybody said out loud, I can lay hands on the sick.
I can lay hands on the sick.
In faith.
In faith.
And the person I lay hands on,
if they will believe,
they will recover.
They will always recover.
When I, in faith,
lay hands on a person
who, in faith,
receives,
they will always,
always
recover. Praise God. That's something you need to understand. You don't always see outward change the moment you pray. The Bible says they shall what? But you do know this. Be convinced of this. I exhort you. Be fully persuaded that the moment you lay hands on people, their recovery begins then. It begins then. It starts that moment. When you lay hands on that person, and you, now I could say this too, distinguishing between methods. You don't always have to pray for people when you lay hands on them. Are you listening? Now see, that's a separate method. Now we use them together a lot of times, but there's a difference between ministering to the sick through prayer and through laying on of hands. You don't always have to say anything when you lay hands on the sick to minister to them. Now you can, and we usually do a lot of times, but you don't have to. There's two separate methods, and though these methods work together sometimes, they're separate. I've ministered to people, just laid hands on them, never said anything. And people received. Or I have used several methods. Lay hands on people and anoint them with oil and pray over them and use the name of Jesus. Well, see, you've got several methods, you see, involved there. But each one of those you could use separately. And they'd be effective. Which one do I use? Well, you need to be led by the Holy Ghost. You see? And you'll find this, that whatever the Holy Ghost is leading you, most often he'll have either you or if you're going to do the teaching and preaching beforehand, he'll have it brought out in the Word, you see. If we're going to minister by using the name of Jesus, well, you know, you teach on the name of Jesus as a usual thing. If you're going to be talking about anointing with oil, well, you talk about that. If you're going to be doing that, I should say, you talk about that, you teach about that, you minister about that. Praise God. So how many see that and believe that it's scriptural to lay hands on the sick? And if God told us to lay hands on any and all and every, then it must be His will to heal all. It must be His will to heal everybody that we lay hands on. Amen?
Amen?
So we don't have to stop and find a special revelation to see if it's God's will to heal this one before we lay hands on them. We just ask them, do you believe? Do you believe that when I lay hands on you, you recover? And if they can answer that affirmatively, then you lay hands on them fully expecting them to recover. Amen. And you'll see a lot of good results. Praise God. Now, let me exhort you along this line. If you want to see people healed, you need to do what the Bible says.
How many want to see people healed? How many want to see Mark 16:18 coming to pass in your life? How many know that before that happens, you have to lay hands on somebody? How many of you know that, realize that? You can't just wish that would come true and never minister to anybody. Now, you don't have to have a meeting before you can lay hands on somebody. Are you listening? I remember before I got in the ministry, full-fledged ministry, you know, as far as a pulpit ministry, I was assistant manager of a small mall-type deal, just real small thing out in the country. And there was a hospital nearby. And I had some people in there that I knew. And every day, a lot of for weeks sometimes, every day, after work, I'd go by this hospital. And the people knew me there. So, you know, some of my relatives worked in there, so they let me in. I didn't have any problem. Sometimes in larger cities, you need to be affiliated with a church and have some things there. But even then, you could just go and visit as a friend, you see. You have to come as a clergyman. You can just come as a friend. And I'd come, and I'd go in and visit some of these folk, and I'd read Bible verses to them, lay hands on them, pray for them. And then sometimes while you're walking out, you know, people that were in the other rooms and they knew about it, they'd say, well, would you come by and pray for me? And tell you, there's a whole world out there. They want you to minister to them. You don't have to be pushy. You don't have to barge into people's lives and be rude. Just be available. Amen? I said, just be available. And we saw people helped, and we saw people ministered to. By through that method, you just make yourself available. You know, come in and read people a few verses of Scripture, and you don't always have to pray for them right then. Maybe they're going to be there for a while, you see, you know, and then we'll just come back tomorrow. Read them some more verses. Come back the next day. Read them some more verses. Talk to them. Don't come in there like a know-it-all. Come in, because you don't know it all. You just come in there and talk with people. You know, it wouldn't hurt you to talk to them a little bit about what they like to talk about. Especially if they don't know you at all. Help them see that you're not weird, you know. That you're a real person. You're not off your rocker. Just come in and take time with people. Especially if people were Christians, I'd talk to them about the things of God. Get them to share with me a little bit about their experiences. Man, learn some valuable things. I remember one Baptist lady, she was much older than I that I worked with, and some other individuals as well. And boy, they'd start telling me about the experiences they had in God. And man, I'd just sit there and listen and learn all kind of things. But then I knew something in this area of healing that maybe they didn't see. And we talked to them about that. And after a while, I say, would you care if I prayed for you? Would you like for me to pray for you? And they said, oh yeah, I'd like that. Well, you pray for them. And you can't always pray for their healing right away. If they're not believing that it's God's will for them to be healed, you can't pray for their healing. But you can pray for them. Are you listening? You can say, Lord, you know, help sister to see this and that, what she needs to see. Or you know, pray in a fashion that it'd help her some way. You know, you can pray scriptural prayers. And nobody minds having the Bible prayed over them. Nobody that's a Christian believer. You can pray Ephesians 1. Lord, I pray that this sister's eyes would be enlightened. Amen. You pray the scripture, you see. And that she'd come to see and know, you know, what you have for her. And pray like that. And then eventually, when you ask people, you know, do you believe God would heal you if we laid hands on you? Well, you know, I do. I've been listening to these scriptures, and I do. Man, jump. You ready now. Amen. You know, just get right on it and pray. But sometimes you have to work with people a little bit. Don't just come in and barge in like a bull in a china shop and just, you know, make a bunch of waves and act like you're super faith man come to save the day, you know. You're not the healer. You're not the healer. Except for the grace and mercy of God, you could be in the bed there. And, you know, and they could be, you know, trying to help you. So you just love people. And I tell you, people, you can tell people anything if you love them. And they know you love them. I'm serious. You can correct them. You can say all kind of things to if they know you love them. Now, if you don't, you can say I love you till you turn blue. And if you don't, they know it. If you don't really care. I like what one minister said. He said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I think there's some truth there. They're not interested in what you know and what you've got to share with them until they know that you really genuinely care about them. And in ministering healing, and before you're going to lay hands on people, You need to do that.
Now, let me say this also. Don't treat this thing lightly, as we've said aforetime. Maybe I've had people do this before. Would you go and visit so-and-so and lay hands on them, minister healing to them? And you get there, and they say, well, who are you? Give me just a minute, if you would. Who are you? I say, well, you know, your cousin or your sister asked that we come by and minister to you, lay hands on you. Well, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, can you minister to them? No, you can't. And I've learned this, you know, if somebody says, would you go by and visit my friend or my neighbor or my... you need to check with them. Are you listening? Before you go traipsing off everywhere, you need to check with them. There's this principle. You remember James 5, that's not laying on of hands necessarily, but he said, let the sick one, let them call for the elders of the church. You see, there's a principle there. Well, we'll talk more to you about these reasons Monday, I suppose. This is Friday. So Monday... And we'll continue on. You keep believing God with me for us to get everything in that we need to before the end of the term. Amen? Amen. And we will. And you'll be blessed. Well, yeah. Yeah. We'll see you.
In the Bible, Mark 8:26, you know where Jesus healed that man's eyes?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I never understood when he tells him, neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone in the town. Mm-hmm. How come he never wanted to say anything?
Well, he had by the Spirit of God pronounced a curse on that town. Remember, he said, woe unto thee, Bethsaida and Chorazin and different cities that he mentioned, because he said if the works that had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they'd long ago repented. So see, he had done a lot of mighty works in that town, and the people rejected the ministry. And so that's why he told him, see, he didn't tell him he couldn't tell it. He just said, don't tell it in the town. Don't go in the town and tell it.
Okay. And then like when lepers were healed too, he'd say, don't tell anybody to run to the priest. But that was because of the Old Testament with Moses, right? When he just...
Well, he was...
Because you must go to the priest first.
Yeah, he was exhorting him to fulfill